welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this satsang, this radio program, is for January 15th. I think that's Sunday, 2017, and I'm very grateful to be with you. As I had a workshop yesterday down in Encinitas, and I'm gratefully home, and I'm gratefully thankful for my students down there who were with us. We worked on getting ready for our big Mount Madonna retreat, and this year on deathlessness and what that actually means to any and all of us. So I'm very pleased, I'm very grateful that I had this opportunity. Today, we are going to talk about self-improvement, but before we do, I want to thank those of you who are my sponsors, who make all this possible, these radio programs, and everything that I do on Aspire. I am deeply grateful, and I want to encourage those of you who listen to this radio program, watch our TV programs on the website at aspire.org. There are so many there. We're doing a series now called Signatures on the Water. These are programs I did way back in the 80s. They are so contemporary, even to this day. And I want to thank my sponsors for making all of this possible. When you give a gift to Aspire, it goes a long way. For many years, it serves humankind. Some of our TV programs go all the way back to, I think, 1985. So you can see that we keep a kind of a catalog going for people who like to come to the website and wander and peruse and listen and watch and read. So your gifts aren't just a one-time shot for airtime. We try to preserve everything we possibly can to be of service to those who are watching and listening and reading. Become a sponsor. Help us, won't you? It's very, very important. You never know who you're going to help. You really never know. It could be someone very near and dear to you that you know nothing about. Let's go to the first question by Steve in, where is he? He's living in Texas. He says, I think that every year I will do something that will be a form of self-improvement, and then I never wind up doing it at all. Why? Why do many of us go through this, Greg? I love your radio programs. Thank you for making them, Steve. Well, besides not being disciplined enough, besides caving into our emotionality and seeing that our emotionality is more important to us than our well-being. Let me think about that a little bit. We are a society that is based on the whole idea of emotionality, of being gratified. And when we try to confront our gratifications, which we so wildly give ourselves constantly, which we so give ourselves in the form of food, entertainment, sports, politics, religion. It doesn't matter. We have made a sport and an entertainment out of everything in this country. That's our kind of our gift to the world. Such as it is, it makes it very difficult for us to stray away from any of that or all of that at any given time or any given moment. So when you're listening to this radio program, how much goes into you and how much leaks out the other ear? And probably a lot of it. So it isn't that we really are listening and we have our own inner well-being at heart. Buddha once said something I thought was so profound. He said, if you knew what I know, you would give thanks constantly for everything that ever passed through your life, because everything that passes through your life becomes your life. And he is correct. I am deeply moved by his teaching. We don't really look at our life and understand the nature of it, nor do we care to. We don't look at our life and we don't see what it needs. Self-improvement is not something I'm giddy on. I want people to be healthy. I want to be healthy. I would encourage anything a person would do to become healthier. That is absolute. But when it comes to self-improvement, the ability to get what I want or fulfill some grandiose ideal or desire, that's where I draw the line. Steve, most people, and I don't know you from anyone, so I'm only assuming, and I could be very wrong, and forgive me if I am. Most people live according to their genetics. They have a genetic ceiling above their head, and they're always looking for something to aggrandize themselves. They want to be a CEO, or they want to be an important person. They want people to depend upon them and like them and all these other things. They get nuts. I watch the emotionality here, and it's just craziness. So when you talk in terms of, you know, self-improvement, I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about. If it's about being richer, more powerful, more getting the desires you want, the self-improvement of people liking you more and all of that stuff, then you've got a serious issue, bigger problem. And I don't think that's really very important. I have never, in my 40-some years, 43 years of being a teacher, ever had anyone come to me and say, my New Year's resolution is to spiritually awaken. Never have I had anyone do that. Never. It's not important, because in spiritual awakening, you can't eat it, you can't drive it, you can't spend it, you can't smoke it, you can't have sex with it, you can't feel empowered with the hubris. You can't get any of those things with it. So it appears to be an elective in this life, last thought before you kick off, before you die. And you just kind of roll the dice and think, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life, and I hope it's enough to get me into heaven. And that's the way people think. And my God, this antiquated pedestrian mentality is more than this earth can bear anymore. We need to be more conscious about everything, from our environment to how we are living within ourselves, of course, to how we treat each other and how we love one another. It's a very big deal. But we don't seem to get that, Steve. The reason you can't do any changes is because, as many people would say, you're not motivated enough. You need to go to Tony. And Tony will fix you up. He knows how to motivate people. But this is not a motivation, a motivational class, this thing called life. You can achieve whatever you want to achieve in this world, and it will all be taken away from you through death. So it's not a matter of becoming, let's say, successful. It's a matter of becoming aware. Awareness, you might be thinking, well, then you're not successful. You're not helping the world. In awareness, you are helping the world. In awareness, you could help hundreds and hundreds of people. You really could. Maybe even thousands. I don't know how, you would ask, how would that happen? It would happen in the order and in the form it needed to happen through you. And that could be in touching millions of lives or maybe one life. It wouldn't matter if it's one or a million. Steve, what matters is not self-improvement, but self-awakening. Awakening beyond the self, beyond the hubris of old Gregory here, beyond his pedestrian mentality, and begin to see the awakening that is trying to take place deep, deep in your heart. If you and I were to follow our hearts, we could offer this world a great deal. Jesus, Buddha, Lao Tzu, Mahavir, Krishna, all these great spiritual masters, even Mahatma Gandhi, who was not, in my opinion, a spiritually awakened person, but certainly a lover of life and seeking to steer us away from human futility. All of these people, they didn't make great changes in this world. There are still wars and rumors of wars and famine and sickness and pain and sorrow and suffering and politics and all of that other stuff. That nothing has changed. But nothing's changed the other way either when you think in terms of the Rockefellers and such. These are people who made tons of money off oil and everything, and you see what's going on in this world. It's always the fight for money. I'll tell you, Steve, if you want to really do something that would be in considered the idea of improvement, do what Buddha taught. See how you love and what keeps you from the journey. If you can do that, if you are willing of that, a great insight will be born in you. And that will be enough to change many things. Maybe you'll only change you, and that will be enough. Or maybe you will change another, and that would be enough also. There's always that chance of great love flowing through you. You don't know who you've changed or helped change or considered the idea of changing maybe from one idea to another or one lifestyle to another. You don't know. Your influence, you don't know. I don't know. I don't know what good I've done or not. I don't think in terms of that. I simply flow with the voice that lives within. I simply flow with the effort of the heart and what it teaches. And maybe that'd be good for you. Don't worry about self-improvement. Maybe try something different. Awaken. Seek the awakening of the heart. Put that first in everything that you do. Put your heart, not your ego, not your emotionality, not your genetic disposition. Find your authentic heart first, and then put that into your lifestyle. Make that the lifestyle. Give, forgive, offer kindness, compassion, forgive them that despitefully use you, forgive them that hate you, forgive yourself constantly. Live in a constant state of forgiveness. Let go. Let go of emotions and pride and vanity. You do these kind of things, you've made a huge change in your life and in the lives of those around you. Just think about it, Steve. You can do a lot more than lose 15 pounds or make that CEO position or whatever. It's so silly. We need so much more than just the petty stuff. Please forgive me. Namaste. Everybody wants to lose weight this time of year, you know, because we pack it on eating that Christmas and Thanksgiving food, but you really got to look at it from a different point of view. Yeah. No, you don't. You can do what you want. The next one's from Janice. She does not tell me where she lives. Greg, why is it so hard to change? When I was younger, it was much easier. And now at 42, oh my God, it is so difficult to change the simplest things. What's going on, Janice? Janice, a part of what's going on, and a huge part, is that as we grow older, we start morphing into our parents, a version of our parents. Your genetics are catching up with you, and you're morphing into them. And whether you know it or not, this morphing, this genetic morphing that you're going through, is playing havoc with your entire life. So now, these generations of people that live in your body are growing because you gave them the power to do so by living in your emotionality and fulfilling every desire you possibly could. And every time you gave in to the chance to mature out of emotions and you went towards your emotions, you made it more and more susceptible for your genetics to be important to you and not your heart. So now, here you are at 42 years old, and you are nothing but a genetic nightmare. You're trying to change and move things around inside of you, maybe lose some pounds or change some attitudes that you have about yourself, and they're difficult now. Lhotse said in the Tao, do the difficult before it becomes impossible. And now you know what he's talking about. Americans believe, most people believe, that if something is difficult, it can't be done. I mean, if something is difficult, like spiritual awakening, how do I know that it's going to help me? What do I get out of it? I mean, am I going to be a better person? Are people going to like me? Am I going to have more money? Am I going to be more popular? Blah, blah. This is the way people think. And because they think in that manner and in that way, they lose the absolute meaning of their own existence, their life, because they're so busy trying to get what they think will bring them emotional satisfaction. And that's the big issue, emotional satisfaction. Now, here I am talking about this, and you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to get emotional satisfaction if I change this or this or this about myself. What exactly did you want to change? The first thing most of us need to change, whether we want to or not, is our relationship to our emotionality. And if my relationship to my emotions does not change, neither will the meaning of my life. And that's just the truth. I mean, it is. So, until I am willing to let go of my emotions and become more supple in my being, so supple that I can bend and I can move, I become liquid. I don't try to make this world something I envision it to be. My world or the world in general. Rather, I am looking for a bigger picture. Most of us have terrible self-esteem. We just don't like us because we don't think we measure up to the culture's standards and beliefs. The culture in this world is that he who has the most must be the most powerful or must be accepted as the great leader or the great meaning of life. But yet in inner work, in true authentic inner work, it's the one who is the most humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus did not say blessed is the CEO. Blessed is those who have money and influence and power over people. He never said that, not even one word towards that. And yet that's what everyone seeks, from ministers to politicians to CEOs to the average guy walking down the street. I want to mean something. Nobody sees me for what I am. I want to mean something. Well, you got to mean it to yourself first. And if you're looking for attaboys and adorations, you're going to miss. You're going to miss the totality of the meaning of your life. Read the commentary I did this week. It will help you immensely with the attaboys. If you start looking at your life from the premise of your authentic heart, you will start to change things about your living you didn't even know needed changing. I have had this experience for myself. I know it. I know it well. You don't need to be perfect to be love. You need to find love first, and then everything becomes perfect. You see that everything is in its right place. You and I don't need to shift or change anything. But, my darling Janice, you are morphing into your parents. And through the neglect of your life, through not meditating and working upon yourself, not seeing the value of what it means to truly work upon yourself and seeing the bigger picture, here you are at 42 years old. Did you think you'd be in this position ever? Did you think this is how it was going to wind up, end up? Probably not. But this is the way it winds up, and this is the way it ends up when I go for the superficial rather than the authentic. Ugh. I hope that helped. You're probably insulted, but I didn't mean it that way. And when you come to me and ask a question, I'm going to do my best to help you. And sometimes that means I got to step on your toes because you got big feet. Ooh, I did it again. Please forgive me. Namaste. Sometimes I read Buddha or Jesus, Lhotse, and they're stepping all over everybody's ego. You know, they don't mean to. It's not like they, oh, well, I'll step on their ego. They just do because the nature of the teachings are such. Last one comes from Tom. Tom writes me from time to time. I don't know where he lives. He says in the upper northwest, so that could be anywhere. But he always has interesting questions, and I'm very grateful to you, Tom. Greg, what is the real change we need to make? Tom always solidifies everything down to one sentence, and it's really good. Very well done. Very intelligent. I need to change from being attracted to fear and hate and start being attracted to love and kindness. Instead of my first reaction being that of a knee-jerk reaction to fear and hate all the time, my first response needs to be towards love and kindness. And if I do not do that, if I do not live according to the love and kindness that is necessary for my life, I'm going to miss the things that are most important about my life. So there you are. It has nothing to do with the idea of changing the whole world, or maybe going out and changing jobs, or finding a new mate, or finding a mate, or whatever, getting a divorce, getting married, having babies. It isn't about that. The thing that is most important is, did I ever find love in this life? Did I ever find the meaning of love in my life? And if I never found it, what am I doing? What am I living for? What is happening? That's what I have to do. I have to begin that process of awakening. Awakening to love. Awakening to the being. Awakening to the meaning of my own existence. And if I am able to do that with compassion, something of the other shore will reach me. It's all about love, Tom. Not Greg Penn love, not Tom love, but the love that is and makes it possible for there to be a Greg Penn and a Tom. And we are here to live in that beauty at all times in our life. And for the most part, we miss that because we don't recognize that silence is the answer to everything. It is only in the depth of silence that we find the meaning of everything. So when your being is starting to resonate to that tone, that texture of silence, resonating to the language that is unspoken in the universe, you will find everything becomes immensely clear. I have found it easy to find clarity. There are things that are impossible in this world, and there are things that are not impossible in this world. All things are possible to those who find the way in their heart. You're not going to change culture and society. You're not going to change people's beliefs and theories. All you and I can really change is the thing that's most important to change. And that is ourselves from living in hate to that of living in love. I hope that helped. Thank you, Tom. Please forgive me. Namaste. Thank you for a beautiful weekend to my Encinitas friends. And thank you, my listeners, for listening. And thank you, my sponsors, for sponsoring. I am deeply grateful and humbled by all of this. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.